If you got a single family residence loan, okay, a mortgage, mine on my house, 2.71%. What's yours?
3.0%.
Great example. Okay. Some people got better. Some people got worse.
Yeah.
You can go get a CD now at some banks at 4%. That bank is losing money on that loan.
You're right. Exactly.
That they're losing the difference, that delta between 4% and call it 3%, that 1%, they are losing money now.
Exactly.
That's how crazy those rates were.
That's a good point. I wonder, the new norm is probably going to feel like around that 5% mark, right?
I really legitimately thought and still think that rates might hit like 8 to 10%.
Redfin saying that's going to be like sub 6% for the rest of next year, at the end of next year.
Maybe, yeah. You know, maybe I'm wrong, but what I'm telling you is I don't think this optimism really leads to a play.
I feel like a majority of the people, like 90% of the people, have interest rates somewhere within that 2 to 3% mark.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the Higher Standard Podcast, where we give you ultra-premium, unfiltered truth when it comes to building your wealth and curating the lifestyle of your dreams. No games, no drama, and no shenanigans. I am your host, Chris Nahibi, and I'm here to help you distill the immense amount of information and disinformation out there on the interwebs and give you the opportunity to choose a higher standard for yourself. There are no gurus here, and no one gives a damn about how wealthy you look. I'm an attorney and a banker, amongst other things. Does that mean you should listen to me? Hell no. This is just full disclosure that while we talk about money, wealth, law, investing, and a lot of related topics, you should always speak to your own advisors for an opinion tailored to your unique investment perspective. I am obligated to tell you that nothing contained in this show is in fact legal or investment advice and is being provided solely for entertainment purposes. So sit back, relax your mind, and get ready for a different kind of podcast where we elevate your baseline in crispy, high-resolution audio. This isn't a different standard. It's the higher standard. Welcome back to the show, everyone. I am sorry to report that all you get this week is the sultry sounds of the one and only Saeed Omar.
Hello, everybody.
And myself.
If you like this show, please go ahead and subscribe, whether that's on Apple or on Spotify. While you're at it, leave us an honest 5-star review. Man. Chris is still not happy with these reviews.
No, okay, little pause from our usual happy intro of cheeky shenanigans to say, I call bullshit.
No.
Okay?
What do you think I did?
No, I call bullshit on all this. Okay, so these reviews are clearly being left by people who are related to you, or you, and you might even have some kind of ghost account. Because this shit's getting corrupt.
It's nothing even that fancy.
I am not that big of an asshole that you get this kind of love on the show, okay? Like, it should be proportionate. This Let's is not
it.
Fair.
Let's read it. Next Gen All Lucy. Right.
Next Gen Lucy. Titled Love, Love, Love. Started off great.
Mm.
Love this show. Saeed does a great job breaking things down to its simplest form. Keep it coming. Yeah, fuck me, right?
Oh, thank you, Lucy. Thank you for noticing.
Yeah, appreciate you, Lucy, a.k.a. Saeed Omar. It's a wonderful review. We appreciate you very much.
We do.
Next review from Kiana93. Feels like a breath of fresh air.
Solid start.
Great start. So nice to listen to non-biased opinions on such major topics. Love the dynamic of these two. Please try and give more episodes. I need more of you guys.
Which part of this is fake?
No, that's a real review. That's one. That one's real. But I know what you do. You wait for somebody else to come in between, and then you pop off with another fake review.
How can I?
I'll illustrate. Okay. Before we move on, though, Kiana, we love you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kiana.
The next one, Joshua CPA, a.k.a. Saeed Omar.
Mm.
This one hurts me. I didn't want to read it. So disappointing. Saeed, this is my 5-star review. Ha, ha, ha. Honestly, though, you guys deserve it. You did say plural.
Thank you.
This show is great. Love it. Great humor, great information, great advice. Also, so happy to finally see both of you on the cover.
Thank you for noticing, Joshua.
That review titled Honest Live 5-star review.
Honest 5-star review. Chris still can't read.
No, I just like throwing the word live.
Live.
Because we said it live. Live. Man. So yeah, those were our reviews. They were very nice and very new, very obviously misguided in favor of Saeed for some weird reason. But you know what? Sometimes we all make mistakes. And you as listeners are looking to improve your life and improve on yourselves. And this is how we're going to get you over the Saeed hump.
I still appreciate you.
God damn it. He doesn't. But let's jump right in to the hot topic of the day.
Enough of the cheeky shenanigans.
No more cheeky shenanigans. SBF, Sam Bankman-Fried.
Mm.
Founder of the once fourth highest rated crypto exchange, FTX.
FTX.
Has found himself in a bit of a predicament.
Big one.
SBF was arrested in the Bahamas after the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York shared a sealed indictment with the Bahamian government. He is expected to be extradited to the United States. And I got to tell you, I don't feel bad at all. I'm feeling pretty damn good about him. You know what? I love it. But despite that initial joy, I started to have my usual problems. The conspiracy theory started coming up in my head. This is the day before he was supposed to speak in Washington on these topics. And now he obviously will not be speaking. That's funny. His parents, I don't know if you know this, his parents who were, I think, Stanford law professors.
Yeah, both law professors.
Very well educated. They both have homes in the Bahamas, including a $50 million home.
That FTX got for him, right?
Yeah, with FTX money, a.k.a. your money, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, exactly.
Boys and girls and everyone in between. That's your money. And I think they let their sons go to jail for this. Their son go to jail. Is that what's going to happen?
What do you mean? They don't have a choice. He's 30 years old.
I know, but clearly they were in on this, right?
So the argument...
They quit their jobs as Stanford law professors. You know that?
Oh, yeah, because they're going to get shamed. What do you mean?
No, no, they quit their job before this.
Did they? Oh. Yeah.
They're not buying $50 million in the Bahamas.
Like they're going to get taken care of? Well, here's the interesting part about it. I didn't know that he could be so dumb. He's coming out saying that basically his defense is going to... He's going to claim ignorance. I didn't know it could get this bad. Sorry.
Wow.
That's what he's going to claim.
Is this like documented somewhere?
No, I mean, that's why he's been doing this whole tour, putting himself out in the public, trying to paint himself and portray himself to be this good, honest guy that's now trying to turn things around. But because you can't go to jail for being a bad CEO, right? But you can go to jail if you knowingly did things to misrepresent.
I'm not going to lie. That's actually a pretty valid argument.
That's what I'm saying. That is the argument that he's going to try and make.
But
now,
there are laws designed to prevent some type of breach of fiduciary duty in the role of a CEO. I mean, they don't really apply.
Which would explain all the deleted tweets and then adding the tweets because he's trying to cover up how much he knew and how much he didn't know, right?
And this is the first concrete move by regulators to hold an individual accountable for an implosion of a crypto exchange. But there hasn't obviously been a whole lot of these before this, so... Is this the beginning of new regulation, or is this the beginning of a really creative exit for something that, let me tell you, if he gets off the hook, and there's no penalties?
No, hell no.
You can't possibly.
There's no way. Bro, Madoff got sentenced 150 years in prison for when $65 billion went missing.
Yeah, but Madoff knew what he was doing was wrong. That was the pitch, right?
I think the main difference between the two is Madoff came out the next day and admitted what he did was wrong.
Okay, let me take a different tact here. Why do you think Sam is smart?
I don't think he's smart.
Okay, so why isn't that a good defense?
Why is it not a good? I think they can easily prove that he knowingly did what he did.
Yeah, what if he
created the backdoor channel to transfer money from FTX to Alameda Research? That was him.
What if he thought the backdoor was the only way?
Come on, man. That's commingling funds, right? You can't get away with that.
I don't care what you call it in your personal life. He was commingling the shit out of those funds.
Yeah.
But let me tell you right now, what if his explanation was, you know, I really didn't know. I thought this was okay. I was just trying to build in these back doors so that it was easier for me to make money.
I heard he's trying to throw his girlfriend under the bus or his ex-girlfriend.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I would throw her under the bus for sure. She's not going to make it in jail.
Throw her under the bus for more reasons than one.
I very rarely make off financial predictions, but I'm going to make one here.
Okay.
This man is probably going to die.
Oh, come on, man.
Look, oh, come on.
Don't do this.
You don't think there was some bad money? He threw a lot of money around.
There's for sure a target on him, but...
In his defense, he did pay off a lot of money to the Democrats.
Yeah, 30-some million, right?
There was a lot of payoffs going on there, so he did pay off some of his debtors.
Yeah.
There you go. It's a bankruptcy joke.
Yeah. Oh,
Eddie
man.
Murphy didn't make those kind of jokes. Is it Chapter 11, ladies and gentlemen?
Yeah.
Yeah, not quite the same thing. But, you know, it's fine. So, look, I don't think this kid survives. I'm being dead serious. Dead-ass serious when I say that.
The Southern District of New York has put out a tweet on this, too.
I'm sorry, the Southern District of New York tweets?
Mm-hmm. Yep, they had a tweet on this.
Is it an official Twitter account?
Official Twitter account. They have a blue check mark and everything.
Do they have a little... No, that doesn't mean you're official anymore. You gotta be careful. Dangerous shit.
Hey, they got the Jordan colorways.
No, does it have the little gray tick that says official next to it?
We gotta go back. We gotta go back and check.
No, don't be reporting some false news in this shit, bro.
Let's pull it up. We can pull it up.
You pull it up.
But basically, they said that the arrest was made at the request of the U.S. government in a sealed indictment. That's sealed indictment.
Bro, are you not? I literally, that was the first fucking sentence I read to you right now.
Was it?
Yes. Mm. The Southern District of New York shared a sealed indictment with the Bahamian. This is in front of you on the screen.
Yeah. About that. I wanted to get to it myself.
See, this is why I am not arrogant and you are. Okay? You're not even listening to your own co-host on your own show.
I was so eager to get to it.
Stop.
That's breaking news.
No, that is not breaking news. That is re-breaking what I just said to you.
Yeah.
Damn. All right. Well, there is a statement from the Attorney General of the Bahamas,
mm-hmm.
Senator Ryan Pinard, KC. I don't even know what KC stands for, on the arrest of Sam Bankman-Fried. You read this?
I can read it for you. You sure you want to read this?
No, go ahead. It's long. You can go ahead and read it.
Yeah.
I don't want you to take credit for me reading it later on.
Anyway, okay. So go ahead. All right. On the 12th of December in 2022, the Office of the Attorney General of the Bahamas is announcing the arrest by the Royal Bahamas Police Force of Sam Bankman-Fried, former CEO of FTX. SBF's arrest followed receipt of formal notification from the United States that it has filed criminal charges against SBF and is likely to request his extradition.
Mm.
Mm. As a result of the notification received and the material provided therewith, it was deemed appropriate for the Attorney General to seek SBF's arrest and hold him in custody pursuant to our nation's Extradition Act. At such time as a formal request for extradition is made, the Bahamas intends to process it promptly pursuant to Bahamian law and its treaty obligations with the United States. Responding to SBF's arrest, Prime Minister Davis stated, "The Bahamas and the United States have a shared interest in holding accountable all individuals associated with FTX who may have betrayed the public trust and broken the law. While the United States is pursuing criminal charges against SBF individually, the Bahamas will continue its own regulatory and criminal investigations into the collapse of FTX, with the continued cooperation of its law enforcement and regulatory partners in the United States and elsewhere."
And that is why they call him sultry, ladies and gentlemen. Yes.
Yes. Give it Woo! Up. Give it up. Yep.
That's fucking rainbow, like, baby.
Hey, guess where criminals aren't going to be hiding away from that one?
The Bahamas.
The Bahamas.
Everybody in the crypto space is like, shit, we got to move.
Yeah, get the fuck out of here.
I get back on him all day long. This makes me so happy.
Right.
Yeah. This makes me so happy. It shouldn't, but it does.
I know.
Because he's such a character and he's such a weird dude.
Rightfully deserved, though. I mean, come on, man. I mean, at some point, they're going to make him the poster boy for why there needs to be regulation in this space.
Yeah, 1,000%. And I mean, well, they don't need to make him. He already is the poster boy. But I think whatever happens next in some of the other larger crypto exchanges, Binance, if you follow Dr. Doom, Binance, if you don't. But CZ and Binance, I believe, have some serious underlying issues that have not been made public. And I think if that goes down,
right,
or another larger exchange goes down, I think then it's an unavoidable certainty that that will happen.
Right.
So why don't we talk about some real business? We have we're recording this show on Monday the 12th. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, the 13th,
CPI comes out.
And the day after that is when the Fed meeting starts.
You're right.
So we've got a very, very sexy, tumultuous week in the financial space. And for those of you out there in listener land, you may note that some weeks our show is not filled with a ton of data.
Mm-hmm.
That's because the financial world isn't always, you know, sexy and popping every single day. There's a little bit of lulls, especially around the holidays. So,
right.
But this week, more than most weeks, has got a lot of stuff happening.
Right. So our next recording on the next episode this Thursday, we'll have a lot more detail too.
Which will be released the following Tuesday.
Yes.
So the CPI number, which currently stands at 7.7%,
yes,
down from 9.1%, mm-hmm, is largely believed to be around 7.3%.
Yes.
But there is a shit ton of speculation and a lot of optimism that inflation has peaked, man. Mm-hmm. Inflation has reached the top and we're on the way down.
Right.
And this enthusiasm is really carrying a lot of positivity in the market. And I think people are getting more and more comfortable with the ideology again of a soft landing.
Right.
And they're getting hopeful. And I would tell you, y'all fucking wrong.
Yeah.
Every single one of y'all wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
Even if that happens and it's 7.3%, 3 months, we went from 9.1 down to 7.7. Okay?
5 months.
Five months. Yeah. Sorry. My bad.
Yeah.
And how long has it been since 7.7 to now?
That was October. October was 7.7. Okay. November's is coming out tomorrow.
Okay. So 1 month, right?
Yeah.
All right. So 1 month down 7.3, let's say that happens.
Yeah. I mean, that's the projection. I don't see it getting there, but
I don't see it getting there either. I think it's going to be a little bit higher than that. You're seeing actual slowdown in trajectory.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right,
if you think inflation is going to get to that target of 2%, it's going to be a long, long ass time.
Yeah, we've said it that the million dollar question is once they officially stop. The first pivot to the Fed will be this upcoming meeting that is projected to only increase the rates by 50 basis points, right? The next pivot for the Fed will be when they begin to hold and no longer raise the rates. And then the third and final pivot will be once they see the rates coming down fast enough. Now, we've said on the show before that it doesn't, the inflation does not need to hit actually 2% in order for them to stop holding, but they just need it to be going down at a fast enough pace at around 4% to know that it will eventually get there. I don't know when that's going to be. That the million dollar question is, how long will they hold for?
How long will you hold it for, Said?
You know, I tend to hold it for a long time.
I can tell.
Yeah.
You ever get a UTI or anything? No. All right. So according to Reuters, November PPI is a bit hotter than expected.
A little bit.
And this came out not too long ago, a couple days back. The producer price index for final demand rose 0.3% last month. The Labor Department said on Friday, data for October was revised higher to show the PPI gaining 0.3% instead of 0.2%. As previously reported. In the 12 months through November, the PPI increased 7.4% after advancing 8.1% in October. Economists polled by Reuters had forecast the PPI climbing 0.2% and rising 7.2% year over year.
Yeah. Well, so just a quick little refresher on what PPI is and what it reports. This program measures the average change over time in the selling prices received by domestic producers for their output. Prices at the manufacturing level.
Right. So if PPI is increasing, it's actually not doing what the Fed is trying to make it do.
Yes.
It should be going down, not up. So this is kind of one of those things where you think about it in the context of where we're going tomorrow with the CPI number, and you say to yourself, okay, some of these metrics are showing the economy is healthy and strong. Prior to this, it was jobs, the labor market, healthy. Now, we know that's the laggiest of lagging indicators. But with a strong jobs print and a strong PPI print, does that mean you get a not so good CPI or inflation print?
Right.
So I was listening to the news in the car today, and there's a full Monte Carlo, like almost Las Vegas style odds on where inflation is going to come out and how it's going to impact the market.
Vegas starts having odds on this.
They really should. And the sad part is that people in the market, in Wall Street, are literally saying, this is completely speculative. We're just saying if it goes from 7.3 to 7.7, this is what, how the market's going to react. And if it goes from, you know, 7% to 7.3, this is how the market's going to react. And everyone's predicting that this bull market response and this massive day. And I'm sitting here going to myself, but what about the other way?
Yeah.
What if it goes to 8%?
Yeah, exactly. What if it goes the other way? You know, I know the PPI report is not something as sexy as a CPI report, and it's never really been something that I think moved the market too much. But actually, when this number came out, the market took a dip that day.
Did it really?
Yeah, it did.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so it's showing you that people are really tuning into all these index reports that are coming out.
Woo. So I'm going to pull up the, I think it was the Atlanta Fed has a prediction, right? I think it's the Atlanta Fed for prediction. One thing
that I did hear one of the news outlets touch on that I thought was pretty interesting. I can't remember which one off the top of my head. I have to go back and check. But they said that in that PPI report, there showed a detailed note in there that there was an 11.3% increase in the price for the cost of financial services.
All right. So the latest estimate, 3.2% December 9th, 2022, the GDP now, which is from the Atlanta Fed, which estimates, and this number has been relatively close, the closer we've gotten to the CPI numbers. So the GDP now model estimates for real GDP growth, seasonally adjusted annual rate in the fourth quarter of 2022 is 3.2% on December 9th, down from 3.4% on December 6th after this morning's release from the U.S. Census Bureau and the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. The now cast of fourth quarter gross private domestic investment growth decreased from 1.7 to 0.7. The next GDP update is Thursday, December 15th. please refer to the release date tabs below. So interesting. So they're not really forecasting a general significant change. It looks like they're going to be somewhere in the high sevens is kind of where high mid sevens.
Yeah.
So it seems to be in line with the
7.3 is a little aggressive. Now, look, at the end of the day, we're talking, this is semantics, right? Like, we want this number to get down to 2%. We're talking like 7.3, 7.5. Like, we got a long way to go. That's the gist of it all, right?
The gist, huh?
The gist.
First you holding it, now the gist. Bro, some of the stuff you're saying tonight, you trying to throw me some subliminals?
I'm trying to throw you some alleys.
Yeah, I'm not taking it. All right. So from the real deal, housing market to sink to a 12-year low in 2023, according to Redfin, which if you listen to the show, Redfin is getting more and more reliable for the truth.
Big fans.
Yeah, I'm turning into a huge fan.
Yeah. I completely turned themselves
now,
around.
Zillowing in the hand?
Yeah.
Dog shit.
Yeah.
Anything Zillow tells you, just take it with a grain of salt and say, what are they trying to do?
Yeah, Redfin pivoting to like a data aggregator now.
Yeah, they're doing some good work. Mm-hmm. They're doing the Lord's work. So
the Lord's work.
Praise the Lord. Jesus, glory be thy name. All right. So next year will bring the slowest housing market in a dozen years, Redfin predicts in its 2023 housing outlook. I think that actually might be low relative to some of the stuff that I'm seeing data-wise, but let me continue. The brokerage forecasts existing home sales will decline 16% year over year, rounding out a 4.3 million deals driven by affordability issues from elevated prices and borrowing costs. Mm. Redfin also predicts both prices and mortgage rates will decline next year at least slightly.
That's interesting.
So I don't think I put it in the show notes, but when I checked last, because we always say demand without affordability is not demand.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think affordability is at in a low-wise in number of years looking backward? How many years do you think it's been historically since affordability has been this low? Just guess.
Affordability? 40 years?
35 years. That's a great guess.
Mm-hmm.
Truly, that Nobel laureate has got to be
laureate, coming. Baby. You know what it is. You know what time it is.
Geez, I do know what time it is. It's time for the laureate to call. Do they call you? Do they email you? How does that work?
No, you just know.
You just know?
Yeah, it's just like, it's destiny.
Your spidey sense
tingles. It's divine. It just comes to you.
Ooh,
yeah, you just show up. Knock on the door.
Ooh, the laureate's coming. Ooh. Yeah, okay. This also from the real deal, I found this fascinating in the context of a very, very slow market with 35 years since the last time affordability has been this low.
Mm-hmm.
Home builders like Lennar are offering to sell 5,000 of their homes to large landlords, entire subsects. So that was fascinating. So with the housing market in a downturn, one of America's largest home builders, Lennar, is ramping up efforts to sell single family homes to landlords.
Try and get out while they can, right?
They want to sell 5,000, mostly in the Southwest and Southeast, to investors. In some cases, the company is reportedly offering landlords the opportunity to buy entire subdivisions.
That's wild. You ever remember a time where you've seen something like that?
No, but I've seen, so BlackRock obviously buying, and there's, I think that was JPMorgan Chase that recently came out, so they're gonna buy like $1 billion dollars in single family or something.
Yeah.
So single family is largely considered an investment opportunity for some of these institutional guys, and as much as we thought they were gonna throttle back,
mm-hmm.
they're getting deals thrown their way already.
Yeah, exactly.
We haven't even seen home prices go down, and they're like, and you know, if you're an investor and you're a large landlord,
mm-hmm.
you're buying 5,000. Let's just say you buy 1,000 of these units.
Yes, it's going cash flow.
500 of them. Mm-hmm. You know you're getting a bulk price. Really. Yeah. You're not paying retail.
Right.
So even if you bought it at bulk and you wanted to split it off later on and sell it individually.
Yeah, you'll make money on it.
And we should probably take some time to explain to everybody how this works from the lending world. So in a lender's perspective, if you're buying four or five houses in an area that are really close or together, particularly mm-hmm. if they have
adjacent to one another.
Yeah. You can, and even if it's not, and you want financing on all of them, I'm not going to give you individual loans on each one of those properties.
Yeah, you'll cross-collateralize them, right?
Yeah, we cross-collateralize, cross-default. So if you, they're all related on the same transaction for collateral.
Mm-hmm.
And if you default on one of them, you default on all of them.
Yeah.
Right? But some people will request what's considered a partial release provision. Hey, lender, if I want to sell one of these homes, can I sell it and take some money and put it in my pocket, or do I have to give you the complete pay down?
Right. So in what kind of circumstances would you allow partial release and what kind of circumstances would you not?
So the hardest part for a lender is, typically speaking, we're going to request a bulk sell. Not what I can sell these properties for individually.
Yes.
Because as a lender, I don't want to sell five properties adjacent to one another in a strip in a row.
Exactly.
Or in the same, you know, square mile radius, whatever it might be, typically adjacent to one another.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to sell these off to five different people over time.
Right.
At retail value. I want to sell them off to an investor at a bulk sell value.
Right.
They're going to want a discount. That's what we appraise it for. And you usually get an LTV option based on that for a commercial loan.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a traditional real estate loan. A right. lot of investors will try to get into it and say, hey, I want a real estate loan for this, but this is not a real estate loan. This is not a true commercial real estate loan because mm-hmm. it's not a piece of commercial real estate.
Right.
This is a very, very weird gray area for a lot of lenders, and a lot of the big box lenders won't even touch it.
Yeah.
But it's truly a commercial loan. You're getting a business.
Yeah, you really got to understand this space in order to get into it, right?
Yeah, there's not a lot of lenders that play here, particularly if you don't have a lot of skin in the game in their bank. If you don't have money in the door, then they're probably not going to look at you like this.
Yeah, you need a relationship.
You need relationships.
I need relationships.
You got a relationship with me.
Yeah, let's go.
Clearly, you got a relationship with the fans.
With the fans.
Who leave you honest five-star reviews. And
honestly, we know that they're doing it just to mess with you.
No, they're not doing it just to mess with me. Those last couple were sincere.
They were sincere.
They were really sincere. I could feel the sincerity.
Yeah.
Joshua CPA, like, he loves you.
I love Joshua.
He loves you so much.
The best part is I don't have to send him foot pics.
Bro, I did that one time. Okay.
And
the results were resoundingly positive.
Not resoundingly positive. How many more requests did you get?
The nice gentleman in my DMs, okay, shame on you, said that, you know, it was a thing for him.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, I'll oblige. Look, like, I'm a giver, bro. If my feet do it for you, good for you.
You're a team player.
Yeah. I'm no shame. And I wanted to know, like, do I have good looking feet?
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, the toe next to my big toe looks like E.T.'s finger. It just doesn't light up.
Yeah.
it's not a good look. But yeah. I'm like, okay, well, maybe this will scare him from ever asking again. Nope, mm-hmm. Came back for seconds.
Right.
So I feel pretty good about my feet right now.
Right.
I'm telling you, I might be able to start OnlyFans. And when I do, it's going to pop up. I might actually get reviews on that website.
I'm really, so back to the, I was thinking about that Redfin report that came out.
Mm. Can't segue like that.
No, because I was thinking about it. Interest rates being as low as they were, we've talked about this. Them being at 2%, 3% for this long a period of time, that's not normal. I know it feels normal for a lot of people, and we've talked about it before on the show. So what will the new normal...
Let me give you a great example of why it's not normal. Okay. Let me put it in context for everybody. If you got a single-family residence loan, okay, a mortgage, mine on my house, 2.71%. What's yours?
3.0%.
Great example. Okay, 3.0?
Yeah.
2.7. Some people got better, some people got worse.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Mm-hmm.
You can go get a CD now at some banks at 4%.
Mm. Yep. You're right.
That bank is losing money on that loan.
You're right. Exactly.
That they're losing the difference. The difference, that delta between 4% and call it 3%, that 1%, they are losing money now.
Exactly.
That's how crazy those rates were.
That's a good point. You know, and I mean, so I wonder that the new norm is probably going to feel like around that 5% mark, right?
I don't know, man. I really legitimately thought and still think that rates might hit like 8 to 10%.
Redfin saying that's going to be like sub 6% for the rest of next year, at the end of next year.
Maybe, yeah. You know, maybe I'm wrong. But what I'm telling you is I don't think this optimism really leads to a play.
I feel like a majority of the people, like 90% of the people, have interest rates somewhere within that 2 to 3% mark.
A lot of people do. I remember the statistic. I read the statistics on this a while back, and I can't remember exactly what it is, but it was the overwhelming majority. So it was like over 65%.
So if like affordability is an issue now, then the spin next year and the years to come is going to be supply is an issue because no one's going to want to sell.
Oh, 100%. So not only that's why you're seeing some of the pullback in listings and everything else is people are like, well, where am I going to go with this?
Yeah.
How do they rent it out? Exactly. Then you have more institutional investors buying properties, and it's just parasitic cycle of opportunity for investors, but it's not great for the homeowners who want to move someplace and live there.
Right.
And it is going to be a supply issue at some point in time. But affordability being at a 35-year low,
mm-hmm.
and with, I know the layoffs that are coming, I know the unemployment is going to go up. Those are facts. Say what you want about your idea about where inflation's at.
Yeah.
Okay. Unemployment is still going up. Fact. Accept that reality.
Mm-hmm.
Wages are coming down. Accept that reality.
Yep.
Those are happening in 2023. So as much as supply might pull back, the demand might not even be there. And with affordability being at a 35-year low, even if it's at a 30-year low.
It's true.
It's not going to be much better.
Yeah, to that unemployment rate number going up, I mean, companies are taking a hard look at expense management and cost control. Those things have become top priorities for many companies, right?
100%, yeah.
They've increased their efforts in identifying greater operational efficiencies, right? So we look at this. I pulled up a report on the show notes. Pull it up, sir, please.
I'm not pulling anything up for you.
Pull it up. Meta to ditch up to 544,000 square feet of office space in the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
$3 billion plan to decrease its office footprint includes unloading up to 544,000 square feet. The Menlo Park-based tech giant has listed its 113,500 square feet at 6900 Dumbarton Circle in Fremont for sublease.
Yep.
You think they're going to put that on Airbnb arbitrage?
Probably not.
Probably not?
Probably not.
A little too big?
Not that way. Matter of fact, this actually was the precursor to Airbnb arbitrage, except it wasn't called arbitrage. It was called subleasing.
Yeah. Arbitrage.
It's not as sexy, though. I'm the
The wolf of subleasing. It doesn't sound as good. I'm the wolf of Airbnb.
Yeah.
I'll teach you.
Right.
Yeah, not the same.
That article brought to you by The Real Deal again. I like that.
Real Deal.
The
Real Deal comes
the real deal is the real deal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they cover all the good. So I went down a rabbit hole.
All right.
Not that kind of rabbit hole site. Different kind of rabbit hole. I saw an article from Business Insider, which, again, is not the most reliable source, right? U.S. debt crisis is worrying economists as interest rates rise.
That's not spectacular. We kind of knew that. Yeah,
thank you for shouting out the obvious.
Yeah, we've been talking about this for months now.
Where's Noriel Rubini with the Dr. Doom when you need him?
Right.
Binance. The quote from the article, as global interest rates rise at a staggering pace, economists are starting to worry about the mountain of debt building up over the years where borrowing costs languished at nearly zero. So I thought to myself, we just got through this $9.12 billion spending on Black Friday, a record.
Yeah.
Despite Bezos saying, no, don't save your money.
Yeah.
The consumer's going to get hit in the ding ding.
Batting down the hatches.
Yeah. I'm also starting to pronounce his name Bezos.
Why?
instead of Bezos.
Yeah. Well, he's taking trips to Italy.
I like being sophisticated.
Yeah. That's what makes you sophisticated.
Bezos. Bezos.
Yeah. I like to call him Bezzy.
Bezos.
The Bezzy.
The TRT brother. Anyway, so I went down a rabbit hole thinking to myself, okay, well, where is debt really at? Google it, you know?
Okay.
Bing, 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 boom.
Did
the googs. Found a Federal Reserve Bank of New York, much more reliable than Business Insider.
Yeah.
Let's go down this rabbit hole, okay?
Yeah.
Year-over-year increase in credit card balance is the largest in more than 20 years.
Yeah.
The report shows an increase in total household debt in the third quarter of 2022, increasing by $351 billion, or 2.2% to, here it is, ready? This is the ding-ding kick. $16.51 trillion.
That's half of the U.S. debt.
Yep. That's how much.
That's how much money.
Yeah, let's put that in perspective. I could go down the rabbit hole in the article, and you know what? I might even do that just for, you know, shits and giggles.
Shits and bibbles?
Shits and bibbles.
Yeah.
All right, let's do this, okay? Balances now stand 2.36 trillion higher than at the end of 2019 before the pandemic recession. The report is based on data from the New York Fed's nationally represented consumer credit panel, which I don't even know what the hell that is. Mm-hmm. Mortgage balances rose by $282 billion in the third quarter of 2022, stood at $11.67 trillion by the end of September, representing $1 trillion increase from the previous quarter. You notice the recurring theme of the word increase?
Yeah, increase. Yeah, that's
increase.
That's what we call a trend.
Yeah. Credit card balances also increased. Pee Wee Herman, word of the day. Ah! Remember that? By $38 billion. The 15% year-over-year increase in credit card balances represents the largest in more than 20 years. Wait, we're not done, kids.
There's more.
Auto loan balances increased. Ah!
Increased.
You're supposed to do the Pee Wee Herman thing, man. Go, ah!
You got that.
You're not a fan of Pee Wee Herman when you were a kid?
No, man. I found out he went to one of those movie theaters and did some things.
Yo, he touched himself. That's not like touching the kid.
Come on, man. You can't do that in public. That's never okay.
First of all, that's from the era when porn was actually shown in movie theaters.
Unacceptable.
I'm not saying it's acceptable, but you can't watch porn on your phone at home.
Yo, I started cancel culture with him. He's out.
Let me tell you right now, if Pee Wee Herman could have done it at home on his mobile phone, he probably would have. He wouldn't have been in a theater.
Don't do this.
Okay, he came back.
Don't justify this.
You see the movie Blow afterward?
No. Oh, he was great in that movie.
He was great.
That's actually one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, he had a revitalized career afterward and not so childlike stuff. I got to tell you, Pee Wee Herman came back hard.
If you haven't seen that movie, Blow, it's got one of the greatest toasts of all time.
Nothing on Pee Wee Herman came back hard? Nothing?
I can't touch that. I'm not touching that. I'm not touching that.
Not me, Pee Wee.
Yeah. Pee Wee's Pee Wee.
What was the toast?
The toast.
You know it by heart?
No, I'm going to say it, but then I know you. You're not going to give me the credit I deserve.
I'll
for
give
it.
You the credit. If you know the toast, go for it.
All right, you ready? May the wind always be at your back, the sun upon your face. May the wings of destiny carry you aloft to dance with the stars.
Was that his son talking to him?
That was his dad talking to him.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he passed it on to his friend, I think.
Before he got arrested.
Right. Or no, to his daughter.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, why are you killing the movie for people, bro?
I'm just trying to make sure you saw it. That's all. All right. Auto loan balances increased by $22 billion in the third quarter, consistent with the upward trajectory seen since 2011. 11 years of auto loan balance increases.
That's wild.
And wait, there's more.
Mm-hmm.
Student loan balances slightly declined and now stand at $1.57 trillion. So why the fuck do we have student debt relief?
Yeah, well, it declined because they got relief. That's what happened.
I don't really know if that's true. In total, non-household balances grew by $66 billion.
Not sustainable, man.
I could go this on
is, this
and
is,
on.
This is the biggest issue. Dr. Doom nailed this right on the head. This is the issue that why I think you and I agree that we predict bankruptcies to go up next year.
I want to read another quote from this article only because I like the Economist name.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Don't look. I want you to feel this naturally. Ready?
All right.
Credit card, mortgage, and auto loan balances continued to increase in the third quarter of 2022, reflecting a combination of robust consumer demand and higher prices, said Donghoon Lee, Economist Research Advisor at the New York Fed. Donghoon, baby. But you can call me Dong.
You choked, though. Dong you choked. Lee. Right before that, you couldn't read prices because you got too excited for the name.
I got too happy.
You got too excited.
I swear to God, I want to change my Instagram name to Donghoon.
Donghoon.
But you can call me Dong.
Come on, he's got to pull that, right?
No, not don't be a pervert. I'm talking about the Dong.
The Dong, the currency. Yeah, we're a financial literacy podcast.
Yeah, I'm a Dong billionaire, bro. Yeah.
Exactly. I got all the Dong.
I got Dong for days. Dong can go a long way over there, bro.
My Dong can go a long way.
Yeah, I mean, my Dong.
I feel like we've taken Dong a little too long.
I got food from Dong.
Gosh.
You're a pervert. I can't
you're a terrible person.
You're a terrible human being. So, Mohammed El Rayne, the former CEO of PIMCO, back in the news from according to Fortune.
Mm-hmm.
In a very interesting choice of words as it relates to the potential for next year.
Mm-hmm.
Quoting directly from the article, the top economist, Mohammed El Rayne, says the Fed will face these two unpleasant choices next year. What you say? What are those two unpleasant choices?
What are those two choices?
Well, I'm happy to tell you, my dong featured friend. The world's most powerful central bank is now confronted with two unpleasant choices next year. One, crush growth and jobs to get to its 2% target, or publicly validate a higher inflation target and risk a new round of destabilized inflationary expectations.
Hey, rewind the tapes. Who said that first? Be honest.
The one and only. Be honest. Sultry Saeed Omar, a.k.a. the laureate.
I literally called that over a month ago.
But you weren't the former CEO of PIMCO.
Yeah, but listen, I might as well should have been. God damn it.
I mean, you look just like this dude.
I mean, yeah.
Y'all both brown and gray hair.
Kudos to him. I literally said
he has the same full damn head of hair too. Shame on
us. I didn't say that they're going to have to make a choice. I think that there's still, even if they do crush the job growth and they do take up that unemployment, they're still going to have to change that inflation rate number to, it's going to be around 3.5-4%.
Can I ask you a legitimate question? I want you to be honest with the audience.
Sure.
Can you do that?
I can try.
It's a big tough ask for you. I know that.
Okay.
Does it piss you off knowing that you literally said that shit on this show and we have no... This guy was a former CEO of PIMCO. You're just some asshole on a podcast and you said this before him and he's on the news for this shit.
No,
this
I know.
This is Fortune,
no,
bro.
It doesn't piss me off. It only pisses me off if people don't remember I said it.
Well, we have it memorialized. Yeah. It's logged. Yeah, we good, yeah, but yeah. It doesn't bother you at all that he's now saying some shit you said probably a year ago?
It's luck, bro. It's just luck.
Luck by him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's lucky to have said what you said.
Exactly.
To get picked up.
I mean, my middle name is Muhammad. His name's Muhammad.
Yeah, but you have three names, first names. It was like a likely outcome that one of you guys would share the same first name. I mean, so it's not a probability thing. You know what I mean? Like, it's not not him. So I got tons more content we could talk about, but you have some interesting articles. You want to go through this consumer spending stuff?
No, we touched on it. I mean,
I didn't touch anything. What are you talking about?
You touched on Pee-wee, that's for sure. no, we touched on all the articles that I had on there.
Well then,
what you got? You got something? Yeah, I know you got something on your boy.
Who?
Elon.
I do. So, Elon Musk has been very polarizing in the news as it relates to this whole Twitter thing, and I can admit that it's somewhat.
He took like a week off.
I don't know. They took a week off. I think he's probably working.
Yeah,
I mean,
out of the news cycle for a little bit.
Yeah, I mean. You know, sometimes you gotta let the bird free.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
So he apparently, as of today, this show, again, Monday the 12th,
mm-hmm.
at noon, he deleted a ton of bot accounts. Fun fact, Twitter knew the IP address of these bot accounts the entire time. It just chose not to stop him.
He was able to locate them that easy.
No. They already had them. He just said, block them. And they go, okay. They knew.
Oh my God.
So he blocked him. And then he literally put a statement on Twitter saying, for anybody on Twitter, it might seem a little slow, but this will be interesting to see the rhetoric. Because obviously, if Twitter is now a much more positive place, it's because these bots who were controlled typically by one or two people or maybe three or four people were, you know, spinning this negative rhetoric in the news and starting all this controversy by being negative. So it was just kind of one of those things where, you know, let's see what this does. And I got to tell you, it's been a resoundingly different experience on Twitter.
Has it?
Yeah. I mean, I would know because I'm verified.
Oh, my bad. What kind of verified, though? I know that there's two kinds of verified out there now.
Well, I have the Twitter Blue.
Oh, old school.
No, I have the old school before that, but now I have the Twitter Blue. But I don't have the new verified, which is a little gray check.
You can't get the gray?
Word official next to you. Because I'm not official. We know the official Christopher Nahibi sells cryptocurrency. He might have it. Yeah.
I heard that he's also going to change the character count. The tweets are up to 4,000.
I don't believe that.
But that doesn't that take away the draw? Like
4,000 is a novel, bro. I haven't read 4,000 words all year.
That's a lot. That's a lot.
Yeah,
bro.
I mean, you see me on this show. I can read like a sentence without stuttering.
Yeah, part of the art form of Twitter was having to get what you wanted to say into 140 characters.
So goddamn frustrating. So frustrating. You don't tweet.
I don't know. Anything, I've never had an account, but did you ever have a tweet so long that you had to split it up into two?
Yeah, threads. I do it all the time.
Oh, it has a name. It's threads. A thread.
Yeah. Don't act like naive.
I swear. Don't do that.
Don't. I've never been
on Twitter.
Yeah.
I can't even tell.
I'm never getting on social media. Hey guys, I've got an Instagram. Follow me. Say no more.
It's the fans, man. I did it for the fans. Love of the fans. I do it for the game.
You know, pissing me off about that is some of them talk to you now more than they talk to me.
They like me more.
Like Ted. Ted. Shame on you, bro. Why are you hitting him up in the DMs?
Hey, I like Ted. Hey, leave Ted alone. Listen, they've told me. I actually have questions that trickled in after last week's episode that didn't make the cut that we have to bring in.
Is trickling constantly a problem for you?
No, I got no trickling problems.
You sure? It sounds like it might be. It sounds like you've got a reoccurring comfort level with this.
Oh, don't do this.
Are you going to trickle in some questions right now?
I have to. I got to pull them up. Hold on.
Wow, okay, while you're pulling up, you trickle.
There's a lot here. Look.
What?
All from the same person,
holy,
too.
Yeah, you can't. Through. No, that doesn't count when one person leaves you like 40 questions.
They're hooking
dude.
It up, man. But we got to do no, some of these are legitimate.
Is this your wife?
No, man. This is Dami Fu Hana.
I'm sorry, what?
I don't know. That's clearly a name. I don't know.
That's
Dami
not
Fuhana.
A name. What are you?
It is. That's their Instagram handle.
Are
name.
You familiar with being trolled?
No. This is a real person, bro.
That's not a real person.
This man's been around for a long time.
You know it's a man?
Question number one, when y'all going on Mind Pump?
I don't think Adam likes us very much.
he's like, pass.
I'm pretty confident Adam's like, you know this is supposed to be educational, and I've listened to your show.
Yeah.
So I don't really know that you can provide a lot of value.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So now that we know it's a real person, because clearly they found us through Mind Pump.
Maybe. Or, you know, maybe he's like, why does he like you?
Yeah. Or two, is it a deal breaker if companies don't pay dividends?
No, but it is. So dividends are typically an
explain to people what dividends are first.
Really?
Yeah. Yes. Come on, man.
It's called Investopedia. Look it up.
No, come on, man. Don't do this.
Companies can disperse some of their profits back to the shareholders. You're thinking typically cents per share.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, 10 cents per share and a dividend for each share that you own. That can add up. If you own a lot of shares, multiply that times 10 cents, and you can make a decent amount of money just carrying back dividends. Dividends are also great because they pay you on a quarterly basis. So it's another way of getting income from stock other than just their appreciation and value.
Right.
Right. And it's cash you can get on a quarterly basis into your stock accounts, and then you can reinvest should you so choose if you wanted to.
Right.
So a lot of benefits to dividends. There's a lot of people who are investors who don't believe necessarily in passive income through real estate that like passive income through dividend through very, very good stocks. Now, typically speaking, you don't want to decrease your dividend. So once you declare one, you typically keep it there or higher.
Mm-hmm.
And you try to have consistency over dividend distributions and things that happen over time. Granted, we're walking into a tough economy, but companies are very, very reluctant to cut dividends unless they have to. It's usually a sign of weakness in the company.
Yeah, it's part of the reason why people like to get into them, right?
Yeah, I don't personally buy stocks for their dividend, but obviously I have several stocks which have dividends, and I like that about them. But That is never my mindset getting into it. But I'm not a guy who's looking for passive income through stock. I'm looking for long-term stock holds.
Right. Yeah, me too.
I like to hold it a long time.
Like the long holds?
Long holds.
All right. So Dami Fuhana, in my 20s, trying to set up an IRA. Should I buy independent stocks or index funds?
Well, it depends if you like a gentleman by the name of Warren Buffett.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Warren
I like
Buffett.
That guy.
Yeah, me and Buff go back a long time, and Buffy Cakes, and I've had several conversations about investing. He was telling me this one, you know, anecdotal story one time over a cheeseburger and a Coke.
Yeah, to invest in crypto?
No, no. Him and his some dude named Mungs. Yeah.
Charlie Munger who pops off?
Yeah, he popped off, and they're just like, you know, you can't talk about those cryptos, and yeah, you know, his whole thing.
Good for kidnappers.
Yeah, they're for kidnappers and carnival barkers. Anyway, Warren Buffett has proven out over time that low-cost index funds, if you can invest in Vanguard low-cost index funds, is a great example. IVOO or VOO, I think is what they are. Mm-hmm. Those generally over time, because the cost that you have to pay for the management and the fees are so low that over time they usually track and follow the S&P 500, and they usually do better over time.
Right.
And frankly, that is where the easy investment money of mine goes into. Now, what I will tell you is I also put money into stocks that I believe in long term, mm-hmm, but I'm also willing to take a little bit more aggregate risk because my low cost index fund portfolio has built to a place where I feel very comfortable with it.
Right.
And I dollar cost average that portfolio.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The only true hedge against inflation
is to continue to invest.
Right. No matter what.
We tagged him the hell out of that until you said that. That was unnecessary. Come on, God damn it. You just
so it. There's some funny questions in here. We'll leave those aside because I don't want to hurt your feelings.
Because it's a made up person who trolled you.
No. This is a good one though. Do you want your kid to go to college? I know we've talked about this before too.
I have a surprising answer here.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay, go.
I don't want my kid to do anything besides figure out a path that he feels is his highest and most dominant form. And I want him to be primal.
I love that. Primal, yeah. In group, out group. Yeah.
In group, out group. I want him not to be subprimal.
Yeah,
primal.
Don't be subprimal, be primal.
Look, I was in a lot of ways forced to go to college. I don't regret it because mm-hmm, I didn't know what I wanted to do.
And did help you find your way?
I mean, I guess now in retrospect, but then I was very lost for a very long time. We had my brother on the show before this, and thank you to the audience for listening to that show because that show was a bit different for us. We were sampling four mics, sampling a lot of things. It wasn't the most...
People on the show didn't have headphones, so they didn't know any better. Can't blame them.
Yeah, those people.
Them.
Those people. Anyway, and like my brother's age, I was incredibly lost at his age. So as much as I might pick on him and give him shit, like I get what it feels like to be lost like that.
Yeah.
And I felt that way, even though I went to college.
Yeah.
Just because you go to college doesn't mean you're going to figure out life.
For some kids it's tough, especially when the message that everyone preaches to you is like, you can be anything you want to be. Now go to this huge candy store and pick one, right? A little difficult. So it can be difficult for some people. I share actually the same mindset as you, that I just want my kids to be happy and be driven, both of them.
But that's easy to say until your kid comes up to you and says, Dad, I'm not going to go to college.
Yeah.
I'm going to be a DJ. Damn you, Siri. Stop talking to me. But it's easy to say until your kid goes, hey, I wanna go be a DJ.
Right.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're Steve Aoki, that's easy to say, okay, great, good for you.
Yeah.
But if you're...
You have to think part of the reason why he was successful was because, you know, it's something that his parents didn't want him to do and that he was driven to do it.
Well, you know, Steve Aoki's dad was the owner of Benihana, right?
Yes.
So I look at... This is going to sound terrible. I'm not an elitist. But I will tell you that if you know you come from a wealthy family, mm-hmm, and you know, God forbid my dad passes away, I'm not getting anything. Mm-hmm. I got siblings, I got, you know, your stepmom, I got people, you know. And, you know, I don't want anything. At this point in my life, I've reached the point where I want them to have whatever's there for them because they'll improve their life. Mm-hmm. But a lot of really wealthy kids have that backdrop of, if I fail, mm-hmm, one day I might get my parents' money, I'm still good.
Yeah, but I don't know. There's a lot of wealthy people out there that have kids that you never hear about. So I don't think that just because they're wealthy that they can try stuff and they won't fail.
No,
but it does give them reassurance.
If you do fail,
yeah,
you got a backup plan that I wouldn't have. Yeah, you wouldn't have.
You would hope that's how they view it. Except sometimes I feel like more times than not, you hear about the kid that's not inspired to do anything.
Well, I think a kid that's not inspired to do anything is just really still looking.
Are they
I really don't. I truly don't believe that there are people out there that are truly not inspired. I think they. I mean, granted, let's talk about. Let's be clear. They're not suffering any kind of mental disease or mental health issues.
Right. Right.
But if they're a normal kid and they just come off as uninspired, I think that's just they haven't found their passion. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean you're gonna find it.
Right.
You go through life and walk without purpose.
Right.
But that doesn't mean you're going to live your whole life like that. Yeah. It just means you got to find a thing you fall in love with.
And you would hope that part of that falls on the parents' shoulders, right? Where it's up to them too to introduce your kid to enough things to show them that you can try things and fail at it. And if you don't like it, it's okay. Go try something else.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's encouragement. Encouragement. Yes.
Yeah.
Anybody know the reference?
No, bro. You're
really?
Dating yourself again.
No, come on, man. Couples Retreat.
Oh, no. I mean, it was a good movie, I guess.
Encouragement, yes. No?
No.
Come on, man. Vince Vaughn, bro. What happened to him?
Yeah.
Yeah. Come back.
It's a, we know what happened to him? What? Not enough people quoted that movie. That's what happened.
Yes. The guy's in a Speedo?
Yeah. I remember the movie.
Yeah, you're
trying to sell it. It's not working.
All right. Well, before we let anybody go on this episode, I did want to talk about my recent weekend experience because I had some revelations while in Las Vegas.
Oh.
It was our first weekend away from the wife. My wife and I.
First weekend away from your wife in Vegas.
Get away from your woman. No. First weekend my wife and I got away from our son since he was born. So almost, you know, a little over 3.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Never gone anywhere without him.
Crazy.
Yeah, it is a long time. I mean, time just flies. I don't think we did it on purpose. I think it's just, you know, circumstance. So we, a lot of new experiences for me on this trip. So we took Jet Suite. We flew over there.
Mm-hmm. And what's Jet Suite?
Jet Suite is, this is good. It's not a private jet. Let's just start there. It is not a PJ.
Yeah.
Now, it is a private flight service with other people board it with you.
Mm-hmm.
So it was certainly more expensive than something like Southwest would have been from Orange County to Vegas. But
what's the benefit of Jet Suite?
No airport. So you go straight into their private terminal.
And you're right about this life now. No,
don't do this that. Don't make me
that guy.
You
brought this upon yourself.
No. See, I'm trying to explain. A lot of people hit me up in the DMs asking if it was worth it, okay? I'm trying to answer those questions. Don't make me the bad guy because people are curious, okay?
Okay, let's see. Yeah.
I don't feel like you deserve this story right now, okay?
I do. Come on.
No, I'm not feeding into this arrogance.
Do it for the listener? Yeah, listeners.
The one?
The listeners. Yeah,
I'll just do it for that one listener. Okay, look. So, and I will point out, when I got to Vegas with the rest of my friends, they were all giving me a lot of shit about, oh, how's a PJ, bro?
Oh.
I'm like,
they're all listening like this guy.
I'm like, no, I came in on a jet suite. They're like, of course you did. I'm like, it's not a private jet, man.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
But it pretty much is.
So it's cheaper than like a 737's first class. And for those of you who don't know, a 737 is basically like a bigger coach seat.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like the full lay down seats or anything fancy, or it's not like Dubai, like, you know, the British Airways and shit like that. It's United Emirates or anything like that. It's just a little bit wider seat. Instead of a row of three, you probably get a row of two.
Mm-hmm.
And you get
flights. Do these flights get booked up pretty quickly, or can you do it like, do they come and go often? I mean, or
they don't come and go as often, but they also don't go as far because they're smaller than 737s. These are much smaller planes.
Mm.
So I can stand up vertically in a 737.
Yeah.
I can't stand up vertically in one of these planes.
Got it.
There's probably maybe 20 passengers in the whole plane, but there's usually two seats on one side and one seat on the other, or it's just one seat on each side.
So definitely worth it.
Well, I mean, it's more expensive than coach, but it's less than first class.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to go through an airport. Yeah, to Vegas. Well, to pretty much anywhere, it's going to wind up being kind of the same.
Yeah.
I don't know that I would go all the way to like Denver from Orange County, or I would definitely go to San Francisco on it. But what's cool is you can walk straight in, get on the plane, walk straight off, no airport, don't mess with that, private terminal, so don't have to deal with the traffic of parking in an airport or any of the excess fees, stuff like that.
Nice.
And they fly lower. So they're flying between 20,000 and 30,000 feet versus 30,000 feet, where your commercial airliners fly.
So what's the problem there?
Not really a problem. It's kind of an interesting different view. Like, you can see things. I mean, when you look out the window, you actually see things a little clearer.
Come on,
plus,
man.
You can get some cell reception depending on where you're at.
Be honest, look at me right now.
What?
You looking out the window when you're flying?
Hell yeah, I look out the window when
I'm
flying.
Come on, man. Stop lying to the people.
I like to look down at General Pop and see how y'all, the rest of y'all doing it.
You're not looking out the window. Don't be that guy,
I'm like,
bro.
Look at those poor people out there. Like, you know.
You welcome the hate on yourself.
Yeah. Look at all those people up there at 30,000 feet flying in those Gen Pop planes. You want on Con Air?
Yeah.
but yeah, so anyway, we get
so
there.
So wait, is it out of John Wayne and LAX? Or,
I know they go out of John Wayne. They go out of Texas and Love Field, I think. They go out of Denver. They have their own terminals, so, you know, so at some airports.
That's cool.
I don't really know. This is my first time flying them, so it was kind of an interesting experience. Would I do it again? Absolutely. I think it's cool. It's a much smaller, more intimate experience. And the no airport thing is cool. What I found was interesting, a lot of people brought their dogs on a plane because it's a lot less hurdles to bring your dog on that because it really not a rules.
Mm.
You don't have to deal with like the whole commercial airliner plane like drama. Right, so a lot of people bring their dogs on, sitting on their lap. You know how when they come by and they're like, oh, please face all tables and seat backs are locked in upright position. Oh, that bag's out in front of you, sir. You're going to kill us all.
Yeah.
They don't do that shit there. They're like, oh, your bag's in front of you? Cool. You should probably put that somewhere. I won't look.
Yeah.
I mean,
they're pretty cool.
Yeah, they're cool. It was real mellow.
So you get to Vegas.
Get to Vegas, and my buddy Stan has invited us to this UFC fight. And I've never been to a UFC fight before.
Yeah, neither have I.
These things are incredibly political, man.
Oh, it's political?
Like, these fights are political. First of all, the group in front of us were these kids in Vegas that were probably in their late 20s, all wearing suits and trying to dress. They were dressed very preppy. Khaki pants and, like, jackets or suit.
Okay.
And it didn't matter who was fighting. They wanted the dude from the USA to win. And the final fight was Poland versus Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Like these, one guy's from Poland, one guy's from Russia. So they were very confused.
Who do we go for?
Yeah, yeah. They're like, well, Poland technically was once part of Russia, but I think the U.S. out. Poland!
Yeah.
Poland! It was very weird.
No kidding.
Oh my gosh. It was so weird. And it was U.S. It was really weird.
There was a lot. Yeah.
There was a lot of that. And there was a lot of like racial tension there.
No way.
And then some of the fights I would have never guessed. Yeah, well, dude, it was a very weird experience. And my buddy Stan, who invited me, has been to like 1,000 of these. You can just look on his face. And I looked over at him and was just like, Jesus. Like, why? Like, this is my life set.
Yeah.
He just did not want to be there, which, you know, I get it. You go to enough of those.
Mm-hmm.
But the actual fights, man, I don't agree with some of the decisions.
The seats that you had, could you appreciate the fights? Because, you know, when you're watching these things on TV, like I've said this for a long time, that I enjoy watching a basketball game from the house more than I do at the game. And I've sat like 10 rows back. Now, I haven't sat where my feet are on the wood, but I'm sure that's a whole different experience, which I would obviously do at some point in my life. That's a bucket list item for me personally.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. For me personally, yeah. Sitting on the wood, front center. But even then, I feel like it's not going to be as good of a view as what you would get like on TNT or ESPN.
You just get more vision on the things. So I'll tell you, the Octagon, we were in section 5, like right there, like, you know, on the corner. There's a cameraman standing on the side of the Octagon.
Yeah.
So they're in your way. If they're in the fighting in the center of the ring, like for where we were looking, our vantage point, there's a cameraman right there in the middle.
Yeah, I've seen them like blocking the coaches' views too. And
yeah, so it's interesting. Like the Octagon is small. So I found myself more often than not looking up at the big screen.
At the Jumbotron.
Trying to see what was going on because I couldn't see there. And I mean, look, it was a great experience. Amazing seats, like amazing set of circumstances. It was cool. He took us into the Octagon after, which I wasn't expecting. I didn't know it was a thing.
No, cool.
Because, yeah, and you know, you see the blood everywhere and then you think you have to bleach your shoes.
Yeah.
But
go get my rabies shot.
Yeah, I mean, it was cool. But man, it's just such a different vibe.
Mm.
Like I've never been to something like that.
Yeah. Did it feel barbaric, like watching it?
No.
Like live?
But I did think to myself, because you know, we're talking about our kids
and
doing something.
Yeah.
I don't know that my son came home and said, Dad, I want to be a UFC fighter. I'd let him do it. That's probably where I draw the line. Like, nope, son. You want someone to beat the shit out of you? I'll do that for you free right now.
Yeah. No, I want you to learn the jiu-jitsu, like self-defense, but in, you know, de-escalate situations. Throwing punches like that, man, that's just a little crazy.
It's not even like, plus the stuff on the ground, like some of these guys when they roll, I mean, they can cause a lot of damage real quick.
You can, but the thing that I like the most about it, so like I took karate, kung fu, taekwondo as a kid growing up, never long enough to actually to amount to anything. But the reason why I like jiu-jitsu more than all the other mixed martial arts, or the martial arts, I should say, is that they had people who primarily focus on training in that field have a very zen-like approach to their life. Like you look at George St. Pierre, for instance, you know, everything that they teach you in that is to de-escalate a situation. It's never to like fuck somebody up. You know, these guys are taught to submit somebody, have them tap, as opposed to knock somebody out.
Yeah, but I feel like that culture is lost. When you go to the Octagon, the people that are there doing it for a payday,
it's a different...
That culture is lost on a lot of them. Not all of them, but a lot of them.
Well, yeah, those guys are trying to get paid, man. I mean, think about it. They have to pay gym fees, manager fees, coach fees, all that. Then you got sponsors. They're not making a whole lot of money, so they're trying to get knocked out of the night too.
That's a thing.
That's a big thing.
And the political part of it was like there was like three or four decisions where the guy clearly lost. Like Patty Pimlet, whatever his name is.
Yeah, he's like the new, like
the Conor McGregor wannabe.
Yeah, they're trying to like put, you know, push him up to be like.
He clearly lost that fight, dude. Like, he clearly lost that fight. I mean, I'm literally watching it the whole time going, okay, this dude lost every single round.
But he's like a fan favorite, right?
Yeah, and Dave Portnoy was there. He was front row. He had his little blonde Patty Batty head, like, little wig on.
Oh.
Was rooting for him, and, you know, and he won, but he really lost.
Oh.
Blew me away. The final fight. So the guy before had given up his belt because he got an injury, and he couldn't fight, so he gave it up. So this was a title fight for the belt for these two guys.
How do you know all this, by the way? I know you don't follow this like this.
Bro, I was there. So
what, like, they're showing the promos?
No, my guy who took me. He told me everything. I mean, if it wasn't for him, I'd just like, okay, hit each other hard. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't
hit
know.
Hit him harder.
Yeah. Oh, you should slap him. Like, I wouldn't know. Yeah. But so I'm sitting here looking at this. It was a, so this fight ends. This is the Polish and the Russian guy, right? This fight ends. Both of them. Amazing tenacity, like, great for them. They did this whole thing. They went through pain. You can tell both guys were hurting, and it was clear the Russian dude won. In my mind, it was clear he won. He won multiple rounds.
Mm.
Right, this is for a belt. This is a big time thing for them, for the light heavyweight. First judge, Poland. Second judge, Russia. Third judge, tie.
Just like that.
Yeah,
I heard that. This
split
is-
draw.
Yeah, this is a huge controversy.
Here's the fucked up thing.
Hmm.
After that, Dana White, somebody in their infinite wisdom decided, you know what? We're going to stop these guys from having the rematch. We're going to give two other guys the opportunity to win the belt now. Just gave it to two other guys an opportunity.
You guys didn't do good enough to finish each other off. Wow.
I mean, damn, bro. That's just fucked political. Up. This is politics.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. And he controls that whole market, so Dana could do whatever the hell he wants. Yeah. No, and I know there's huge controversy with the whole point system in the UFC that it's not very clear. You know, you get points for certain things and not other things where you should. If, like, you're controlling the round, there's controversy on whether you should get more points for that because you controlled the whole round or not versus just a takedown. I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of controversy here.
Well, you know a lot more about this than I thought you did.
Yeah. I listen.
You listen.
Joe Rogan.
I was listening to a couple of his episodes the other day. That man can interview his ass off. It is disgusting how talented he is. I know.
He pimps out that Alpha Brain shit that he takes on it. And he's, he's
taking it, aren't you?
No, I want to.
Yeah.
I want to take it before TRT. You get on the TRT, I'll get on Alpha Brain.
Well, I'm already on TRT. You know this. I'm about 5 weeks away from being a liver king. Although I haven't worked out in like 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's how good TRT is. You don't even need to work out. You just think about it.
It's not that good.
You just think about it.
Ooh, I feel so buff. I got shots in the butt.
I got an advantage.
Yeah. I feel like I'm 18. Look, mom, skinny.
Yeah, exactly.
No, man, it's not an ideal set of circumstances. You know what I'll tell you? We probably shouldn't end the show on this. Like, when you first get TRT, your hormones are, like, raging, right? Like, your estrogen levels, everything going, everything else.
And yeah.
You're, like, physically aroused, like, all the time. Like, I was in the studio with you the first couple of weeks. I was...
I know.
I was thinking about letting loose, but... but it, like, dies back down. You get used to it. And it's not so intoxicating.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, it comes down to, like, normal levels.
I don't know that it comes down to normal levels. You get used to it or whatever the deal might be, but... Yeah, it used to be by, like, I'd get a shot on a Thursday by a Sunday.
Mm.
Like, I'm a predator.
What happens if you miss a week?
I don't know. I don't plan on finding out.
No, really, you've never missed the week.
No, so if I know I'm not going to be here, I'll get two shots. I get a shot of HCG and I get a shot of testosterone.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get those two to go, and I'll keep them on ice in the refrigerator. And then when Thursday comes around, and whenever I travel, I'll take them with me.
And you just give yourself a shot?
No, my wife does. She loves poking me in the ass. Yeah, she loves it. It's the best. No, it's a highlight of her day.
Yeah.
She's like, can I do it now? I'm like, no, honey, just wait till later. Can I do it now? I'm like, no, baby, wait till later. Okay, I
know
how to do
this. Yeah.
Yeah, never miss one.
That's right.
And I figure, you know, worst comes worst, take one the next day.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure my boobies aren't going to fall off. like I don't think anything's going to happen.
You're going to miss the nipple sensitivity.
Testicles go back in your body or something. Yeah. No, it's fine.
Yeah.
Is that really how we're going to end the show? We can't leave it there, can we?
Yeah, well, we might have to.
Well, it's probably time for you to go leave yourself another, quote, anonymous review.
Yeah, come on, man.
Yeah.
You know it's
all right. I know you're doing this yourself.
I'm not doing this. I would never do this. If I was leaving...
You intentionally getting joy out of ruining my self-esteem.
If I was leaving reviews, you would know, believe me. A lot more subtle jabs.
It's at the point now where I literally say to myself when I talk to anybody, Chris, don't sound arrogant. Don't sound arrogant. You know what?
Every random person you're now speaking to, you're like, is this the guy that left me the review?
Like, I want to tell you guys so much more about the trip, about some of the stuff that I got because I have the black card. That's the problem.
Oh, yeah. That's, you can't tell us? Yeah.
So we stayed at the Nomad, which is right next to, it's part of the Park MGM, but it's right next to T-Mobile. Like, okay. You walk straight out right to it, right? That's where the fights were. We paid for a king size, like regular room, $338.
Okay.
They just lowered their prices a couple days from like $800 down to $300 something because I guess that wasn't like high sales, right?
Holy cow.
The next day there was like a cowboy convention that was there, and there was all these cowboys everywhere. Cowboy. So I walk in and I'm like, what the fuck? I've never seen so much turquoise and bigger belts in my entire life.
Right.
Like, these dudes in their cowboy hats are everywhere. I'm like, what in the shit is going on? Yeah, and it was
missed the memo.
Yeah, missed the memo. Anyway. So I go up to the front and I've never actually booked this way through Amex. It was my first time doing it. And they upgraded a room to like a full suite, right? Same price, no extra cost.
Damn. Just because you flashed the black card?
No, they knew I had it before I got there. Like, they were told in advance that I had the black card. So when I paid for it, they were expecting it. He's Royal Highness. Hello, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
My name's Paddy.
Yeah, you walked in. There was a girls around with all the sparkling drinks around.
Yeah,
you.
Yeah. They were doing the whole thing. Like, and here to check in. Yeah. That's the thing. So I got there and, they give you like this voucher. It was really cool. So our checkout was moved back to 4 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
We got $100 free to spend on the room, whatever we want, anywhere in the hotel for that matter. So we got the breakfast, the whole thing, and the upgrade to our room. And there's a couple other things here and there. We didn't even get to use like all of it, but it was really cool to think that. So in my mind, I'm thinking to myself, like, hey, we pay $5,000 a year for this card. Is on top of the original $10,000 per card fee, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to do the math. Like, this stuff really does make it economically viable if you use it.
Yeah, as long as you use it and go out and like experience these things.
If you're not traveling, it's just not worth it. But if you travel even a couple times a year,
right,
bro, this thing pays for itself and then some. I know it sounds terrible, but it does.
No, why does it sound terrible? It makes sense.
Because I have to caveat everything I say because you've given me some kind of psychosis.
I need the caveat to the caveat.
The caveat to the caveat.
Yeah.
That should be a rap song.
Yeah, we could do that. My money don't jiggle. So my daughter, Arya, just heard this song for the first time.
It's the greatest song. It's so catchy.
Bro, she knows the whole first verse.
Really?
She's 4 years old.
It's great.
It's so great.
It's great. All right, kids. We should probably end this here.
Let's do it. Go ahead and leave Saeed another honest 5-star review. I love you. Long time. Pause for emphasis.
No. Leave me a review. He doesn't need it anymore. Look what you created, people. Okay?
Do it for the laureate.
Spread love, not lies.
I hope you enjoyed today's conversation on the Higher Standard Podcast. Make sure to hit subscribe or follow on whatever platform you are listening to this on. If you like this episode, please write a review and share it with us. We're getting the show up and running right now, so every message, every review, and every note counts. This show exists to showcase what's possible when leaders decide to uphold a higher standard for their businesses, their investments, their families, and most importantly, themselves. If you want to see more of my content, I post daily on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, so be sure to follow me on your favorite social media platform. And with that, it is a wrap. And as always, I look forward to hanging with you all on the next episode.